Have you ever put a stumbling block in someone's path in terms of communications, where you have somehow blocked them from saying what they really wanted to say or find out what they really meant? Stumbling blocks is an old metaphor. It goes back to Bible times. There were very narrow paths in the Bible times, going up and down mountain tops and sides. And what people would do is, if maybe a robber was running away from being caught, he would put a stumbling block on the path, and you had to like deal with that stumbling block, or he could even fall off the path. But we can do that in communications as well. Today, we're going to talk about those stumbling blocks that we can put in our brother or sister's way. And as a people smart communicator in leadership, we want to not have stumbling blocks. In Romans chapter 14, verse 13, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Now in Romans 14, this is talking about when it comes to someone's faith, you do not want to put a stumbling block. And in Romans 14, it talks about these various minor things that get in the way of the major things about faith. So, but the principle applies across the board. How do we avoid putting stumbling blocks in others' paths? Now, first of all, I want to talk about meaning barriers. These are ways that we have obstacles in communicating with one another. As a Christian leader, we want to be able to communicate freely, so what's said and what's meant is understood clearly. Let's hear what Ruel Howell says. A barrier to communication is something that keeps meanings from meeting. Meaning barriers exist between all people. Well, we know where that all started, at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis, making communication much more difficult than most people seem to realize. It is false to assume that if one can talk, he can communicate, because so much of our education misleads people into thinking that communication is easier than it is. They become discouraged and give up when they run into difficulty. How many times have you not been able to make your point clearly? Or how many times did someone not make their point clearly to you? As a leader, we want to somehow communicate relationally so clear, and we want to understand what others are saying. So part of this is not putting a stumbling block of communication in others' paths. Now, Robert Bolton talks about communication and about those communication spoilers. And in his book, he lists Thomas Gordon's list of communication spoilers. This is what he writes. Experts in interpersonal communication like Carl Rogers, Roel Howell, Ham Gennett, and Jack Gibb have pinpointed responses that tend to block communications. More recently, Thomas Gordon devised a comprehensive list that he calls the Dirty Dozen of communication spoilers. Now, as we go through this list, I also want to show you how this list is also in the Bible. The Bible wants us not to put stumbling blocks in people's communication. Now, first of all, the first on the list is criticizing. Criticizing, a negative reaction to someone in your life or ministry. For example, you know, maybe saying stuff like this. You're always giving people the benefit of the doubt. I don't know how you are including more people on the music team. Now notice that tone is right away lashing out, right away criticizing. Proverbs 17, verse 28, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. In being people smart in leadership, criticizing is very dangerous. Now I want to talk about this also from your personal life. You know, when criticizing often occurs, it often occurs in the family interpersonal relationships. If you have come from a family where you were criticized a lot growing up, you may tend to be a criticizer when you're older. There are some people where sarcasm and criticism are just like the air they breathe. But in pastoring, in leadership, in people smart Christian leadership, criticizing is a barrier that just blocks meaning from meeting. Number two, name calling. Giving someone a negative name or label. Putting someone down or stereotyping their behavior. Here's an example. You are too talkative. You are too emotional in worship. You're spiritually dead. Now, the list can go on. You're too sensitive. Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. The fact of the matter is, when you make a name-calling statement and you start pigeonholing is an English term we use. If you start calling someone something and you put them down in that name, what you're basically doing is you're putting up a barrier. I know I've experienced that when people say, oh, you know, I remember the early days of Christian Leaders Institute. You just put that cheap training that's free. And I remember feeling that negative response. And that person who said that, I felt like, you know, I really don't want to relate to that person. Now, by God's grace, I was able to move on. We have a relationship with that person. And this is another leader in the Christian world. And this leader now acknowledges Christian Leaders Institute. And that name that he called Christian Leaders Institute years and years ago is something that he has taken back. But I remember the barrier I felt with that man when he just labeled Christian Leaders Institute like cheap online education. Diagnosing. What's diagnosing? This puts a barrier in people's life. Judging and psychologizing why people are acting the way they are. Example. You know, I know how 15-year-olds are thinking. They're selfish. Just because you went to seminary, you think you're better than me. Now notice what's happening there. There's this, you're looking at the world, you're relating to people, and all of a sudden, you come to some conclusions as if you've analyzed someone's situation and you make a diagnosis in the relationship. Proverbs 18, verse 15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. A wise, people-smart leader is not one who just throws diagnostics everywhere. It's not someone who's sort of like in your relationship doing a counseling evaluation and then just spit out your results. That always puts a barrier in communications. Here's another one that Satan can use in ministry to lots of Christian leaders. It's called praising evaluatively. Praising evaluatively is this. You praise someone. Oh, I'll just read this. Praise is often used as a gimmick to try to get people to change their behavior. When someone with ulterior purposes offer praise, there's often a resentment not only of the effort to control, but also of the manipulativeness experienced. And Robert Bolton said that. And here's some examples. You know, maybe as a pastor, and I've seen that too, where phrases like this are said. No one cleans the church as well as you do. The new attendee just can't help you. Now, what it is you... someone is doing a really good job and there is a hard time getting volunteers, and then you sort of say, hey, if I just keep someone going on praise, we won't have to do the hard work of recruiting more volunteers, for instance. But this praising evaluatively is very dangerous to do, where you sort of manipulate people by your praise. In leadership, ultimately, people feel it. I know as president of Christian Leaders Institute, you know, some of the temptations I might have is someone maybe makes a large gift, and so somehow I give them an encouragement. But then what I, maybe there's something in their gift that I didn't like, but then I use a praise to be positive on one thing to bring up another subject. I've repented of that years ago, and I never want to be part of that. If someone gives to Christian Leaders Institute, just give. I don't need to give praise in order to get. The same thing happens in families. A lot of times, and this is probably where we learned it, they're sort of like, well, you've done your clean your room really well, and I'll give you a cookie if you sweep, you know, if you sweep it better. Okay, so now we've sort of connected praise to an evaluation. In ministry, we are called to be encouragers, but not manipulators. And praise with manipulation is very dangerous, and it is a stumbling block for ministry and relationships. You know, an example of that is from Psalm 12, verse 2. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattery lips speak with deception. This is one of the most dangerous things in ministry because the ministry is a voluntary type of situation. You're recruiting volunteers. You're not paying them money. So what happens is you're encouraging them to do well. But do not put a stumbling block by praising evaluatively. It will hurt your ministry. It will hurt you. In fact, what will start happening is if you get really good at it, people will start, you know, they'll make jokes about you, how you basically say this to get that. So this is truly a stumbling block we must see seriously in ministry. Here's another one. Non-relationship commanding. Non-relationship commanding. Telling people what they should do. Just go home and forgive your wife. Just stop smoking. Okay, now, a lot of times we'll say these types of things, but we'll say them without really having a relationship. Now, does this say you can never, you know, give a command? No, commands are fine. But commands outside of relationship often go right over the person's head. They're not even interested in listening to you. Ephesians 6, verse 21 and 22. Titus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so you may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Now, here's the Apostle Paul, who gives lots of commands in his various letters and epistles. But I love how deep in relationships the Apostle Paul is with those he's ministering to. And he'll even talk about those relationships. When we ask people to do something, it is because first we feel the Lord calls upon our heart to give the charging orders. But do not overlook relating, really listening. Now, as a pastor in pastoral care, make sure you really hear before you say something like, just go home and forgive your wife. Maybe it has to be more like this. Brother, I know the benefits of forgiving. And to forgive your wife is to set you free. And I want to encourage you to, and I will help you, and I'll pray with you that you'll have the strength to do that. Here's another obstacle to relationships. It's threatening. Trying to control people by bringing up the possible negative consequences. Example, if you don't listen to my sermons better, your wife will leave you. Okay. And there's a lot of ways that we can put out these negative threats in order to try to control people. This is always an obstacle to communication. Instead, Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Threatening does not work. You know, these stumbling blocks are in everyone's lives. They've been in my life. And in fact, that's what's so amazing about learning how to be leader smart, people smart, is we're in process. So as we conclude part one of these stumbling blocks, I'm going to ask you this question. What stumbling blocks in you do you struggle with? Maybe ask someone in your life to help you see the truth about yourself. You know, a lot of ways when we talk about making changes, we can take ourselves too seriously. It's like, oh, I have all of them, I have none of them, or we can get angry. We can try to pull away. But as a leader, and as a father or a mother, as a friend, these obstacles hurt our relationships. And as a leader, a Christian leader, we want less and less of these obstacles to get in the way. So my prayer as we conclude is that the Lord lays on your heart what obstacles, what stumbling blocks exist in your communication style. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we've thought about these stumbling blocks today, we ask that you will call to mind those stumbling blocks that we do habitually, that we do without thinking, and that as we sincerely seek to be people smart in ministry, we ask your Holy Spirit to help us, and to help us find a friend or maybe our spouse to talk about these things in a way that we can bring healing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.